Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I thank you for each individual person that's here. Father, may you watch over them. May they seek you in all that they do. Father, may our offering this morning be used for your glory and not our own. And may we represent you well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship this morning. Isn't that the truth? Come just as you are. You know, we have a lot of people who are in our community who don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what he's done for their lives. All they've seen is what some people have presented to them, and it's not the full gospel often. We have people in our community that are walking around hurting that could use Jesus in their lives. We all have those friends and family members. And that's why we set aside this time in our service to pray for the lost in our community, to pray for the people that are in our lives who need Jesus. And we know already that God has answered prayers, and there's been people who've came to Christ who got put on their My Three list. If you don't have one of those, there's a little card out there in the entrance of My Three, and you can put the three people that don't know Jesus in your life on there and place it somewhere where you're reminded to pray for them each and every day. Because we know there's power in prayer, and we know that God is the one who saves, it's not us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's lift up our people who need Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Father, we all have people in our lives that need you, that are walking in darkness today. Father, I pray that we seek after you, and that they can see you through us. Father, may we speak boldly, and may we hold our tongue when we need to hold our tongue. May we be representatives of you to each person. Father, if we're not the ones who are supposed to present you to them, may the right person come along. Father, may their hardened hearts be softened, and may they discover who you are and the grace and love you have for them. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from your hands. Suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. With me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Good morning, church. I am thankful for each one of you guys that are here this morning. I'm thankful for those who are also joining us online and the radio. We're so glad that you could join us, even if it was away from us at this moment. You know, God is doing some great things in our community, in our church, and we just need to praise God for those moments. We need to praise him for the way that he has been blessing us as a congregation, and he's been blessing us in our community, with the way that Awana's been going, our youth program's going, and just the different opportunities. And I just wanted to say that none of that could be done without all of you guys. You know, this isn't a one-team show. This is a community coming together to serve and worship God. And I'm very thankful for that. Before we dive into the message, though, this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word, to grow and learn on what you have for us. Father, I pray that this morning that we may come to you with a humble heart, with a desire to serve you in a greater way. Father, may you speak to each one of us. May we soften our hearts. May we trust you for all of this. Father, we pray that it's your words that are spoken this morning and not my own. And if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, last week we took a close look at what it means to trust God. That no matter what we face in life, that we can have confidence that our Heavenly Father is right there with us. That he's walking alongside us as long as we allow him in. We know that God never forces himself on us. He never forces us to turn to him. But praise God, we also know that when we choose to and we turn around, he is right there waiting for us, calling us to him. We were reminded in the text last week that he has plans for each one of our lives, that he has a desire for us, that when the world around us fails, when we fail ourselves, that we can trust that God has it under control, that we can trust that God has a plan and he is ready and willing to help guide us, that we don't need to stress about tomorrow because God has it mapped out in our lives already. God knows what our needs are. He can see things long before we ever do. He knows the troubles that are ahead, and he knows the way to work through them. That we don't have to try and work it out on our own understandings. That we don't have to try and work it out through our own way of thinking. And one of the ways that God does that is by giving us our brothers and sisters in Christ. This may come to a shocker to some of you, but the person sitting right next to you is a gift from God. We're not called to walk this world alone. God never intended for us to walk out this world alone. Instead, we are called to go through it together, to go with it with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to go with it with him. He's given us each other. And at times it may seem like we're doing life alone, but that's not what God had intended for us. You know, he's given us each other, and together we make up the body of Christ. To work together, to take care of each other. Each one of us are uniquely made. Each one of us has strengths and weaknesses. Each of us have a different gift that God has equipped us with. But we all play a role in the body, representing Christ not only to the world, but to each other. You know, we're called to lift each other up. When our brothers and sisters stumble and fall, we're called to reach out a hand and lift them back up. Not keep knocking them back down and pointing out their flaws. Not to stand there and just let them sit in their darkness and pain. No, we're called to help lift them back up. You know, we're called to pray for each other. When someone in the body is facing troubling times, when they're having things in life going on, when they have choices that they need to make, we're called to pray for them. To lift them up to our Heavenly Father. For an example, just last week, I was able to grab a few people from church and pray for my soon-to-be sister-in-law for what she was facing that day. And I was able to grab them. We got together right then and there and prayed for her and my brother as they prepare for their next steps. And let me tell you, God answered that prayer. We came together as one and lifted our sister and brother in Christ up at that very moment of need. We lifted them up to God. You know, we're called to encourage each other. When someone's having a bad day, we're called to encourage them, to lift them up, to be the light of Jesus in that moment of darkness in the world. If there's anyone that we should be able to trust, if there's anyone we should be able to lean on in those dark moments of life, it should be our Christian brothers and sisters around us. We should know that they have our backs, even though some of the time, through some of the worst times in our lives, it should bring us comfort that we're not alone in any of those dealings. When our Christian brothers and sisters are struggling with sin, they should be able to reach out to us for help. We should be able to walk alongside them and fight those desires and battles with them. They shouldn't feel condemned in the process. Instead, they should feel encouraged to overcome their own struggles. They should feel encouraged to seek Jesus in their life, constantly going forward and placing their sin at the feet of the cross, handing it over to Christ himself, knowing he's the one who fights the battles. You know, there's a young man that I know that has been struggling with looking at things online that he shouldn't be looking at. It's one of those battles that I see time and time again in the world around us, always having these struggles. I know it's something that he doesn't want to do, yet at times his flesh would win out. So he set up a system on his phone and computer that monitors everything he does online. And it sends me a report on exactly what he was doing. And it even flags the things that may be a possible problem area. It even tells me if he goes and disables or uninstalls the software on his phone or his computers, tablets. And he knows that if he comes across anything that is not on the up and up, I will call him out on it. I will have that conversation with him. I've done it. But he also knows I pray with him, that I encourage him daily, that if he feels like he's losing the fight, he can call me up and I'll bear that burden with him, that he doesn't have to walk this out alone. He's my brother in Christ, and as such, I have a responsibility to him. A responsibility to help lift him up, to encourage him, and to help him fight his battles. Not to tear him down, not to throw him under the bus, but to walk alongside that battle with him. Just like all of you have responsibilities to each other, to encourage each other, to be there with each other. As the body of Christ, none should have to face this world alone. I believe many in here want to encourage each other, that you have a desire to lift each other up and to stand with each other through life's ups and downs. As Christians, God has given us a standard to live by. Jesus has outlined what's expected of us throughout his teachings. So we want to encourage each other in this way to help our brothers and sisters seek Christ in all that they do. At times, though, we seem to take the same mindset outside of the church and we expect the world around us to live up to our Christian standards without knowing Jesus himself. But I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about the struggles that you faced in life. Think about the sin that you've had in your life that if it wasn't for Jesus, you would still be wrestling with today. Look back at your addictions that you've overcome. Look at your old habits, your old way of doing things. Look at the way you used to think before God came in and transformed your life. And we expect the world around us to live as Christians when they don't know Jesus. We're asking them to work within their own power to overcome sin. We're asking them to use their own power to change their own lives. Something that none of us are capable of doing. So why do we expect it from them? Often when we get into this mindset, the world needs to act as Christians. The world sees us as judgmental. They see us as someone who thinks they're holier than thou. And you know what? There are some that do see themselves that way. There are some who do see themselves as holier than thou. They forget that it was Jesus' work on the cross that saved them. That it was the power of the Holy Spirit that helped overcome the sin in their lives. Jesus himself said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. And somewhere along the lines, we've moved that message Jesus gave us, one of hope, grace, and mercy, one where he offers salvation and in a way to overcome our sins, to one that's full of condemnation and judgment with no hope offered at the end. We could label this group God is Just Group. This is the group that believes that God is all about laws and rules and that being a Christian is nothing more than a list of do's and don'ts in life. And we expect those who don't know God, who don't have the power of the Holy Spirit within them, to live up to that standard. But on the flip side, we have the God is love side. And don't get me wrong, God is love. His love for us is why he sent his son to die on the cross. His love for us is why he put together the plan of salvation that's available to everyone here and everybody outside this world. But this view believes that God is solely all about love, compassion, and acceptance. And because God is love, he would neither condemn nor judge anyone, so everything is permissible. The problem with this view erases the cross. Erases the whole point of why Jesus had to go to the cross. They forget that when Jesus comes back, we will all face a judgment day. That Jesus did not come to judge the first time, but to make a way for us to be restored with the Father. But on the second time, we will all have to stand in front of Jesus and give an account for our lives. The truth is, we're called to do both. We're called to show God's love, and we're called to show his mercy, but we're also called to encourage and tell people to go and sin no more. We are called to offer that hope that comes through Christ alone, but to do it with a humble heart, remembering it's the Holy Spirit who transforms lives, not us. It's the Holy Spirit that did the work within us, not us. This is what Jesus is teaching us today in this passage. He's teaching us how we are called to treat our brothers and sisters and how we are to address the world around us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning, verses 1 through 6. So let's start off reading through that passage where it states in verse 1, do not judge so that you won't be judged. Verse 2 says, for you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Verse 3 says, why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Verse 4 says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take that splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye. 5 says, hypocrite, take that beam of wood out of your eye, and you will clearly see to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. And the last one, don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces. You know, that first verse is one of the most misquoted pieces of passages that you will find in the Bible. It is a verse that is so often used by Christians and non-Christians alike. It says, do not judge so that you won't be judged. People often use this and apply it in the mindset that it's a command against any type of moral judgment. The funny part is people use it to judge what they consider a judgmental attitude. So they're using a verse not to judge, to judge. But let's be honest, that word judge, judging, judgment, it carries some very negative thoughts in our culture today. It's one that we can all wrestle with. The word itself has become almost exclusively associated with pious, holier-than-thou people, or on the other hand, is looked at as people who just don't understand the world around them. They're just stuck in their old way of thinking. But part of that is because often when people do judge, they do come in with this mindset that they're better than the next person, that they know better than anyone else around them. They'll go in with this idea that they are better than the world around them. Now, don't get me wrong. We're called to make choices that are done by making a judgment decision. We often call it discernment. Discernment in and of itself is not a bad thing. Jesus lays it out. He encourages us to use discernment in our choices. It's a good thing for us to do and a necessary part of our Christian walk. It helps us make choices that bring glory to God. It's a gift that we're given to keep us out of trouble. It also helps us call sin for what it is, sin. The problem comes when judgment is misused and abused, when it's passed of a position of superiority or this idea that we're somehow better than those around us, that we're better than everyone else. What Jesus is saying in this verse is that we should not be critical or condemning in our attitude towards others. We don't have a license to take God's place as judge. That is something that he will handle on his own. Remembering that God said he will have mercy on those who are merciful and he will forgive those who forgive. So there's a place for discernment to call sin, sin, but show grace in that process to show love of God and encouraging people to go out and sin no more. There's a difference in it all. He continues in verse 2 and he says, for you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. When Jesus is talking about judgment here, he's pointing out that we need to do a self-evaluation, to dig deep and check within our heart on where it's at. That we can't expect people of this world to live up to a standards that we can't keep ourselves. Remembering that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. that we all have a need for a Savior, that it is unacceptable to excuse our own personal sin while holding others accountable to the same sin and the same behavior. You know, we all know that aunt or uncle or that family member that has always claimed to be a Christian, that has gone out and they're at church every Sunday, but behind closed doors, they live as if there is no God. They're a tyrant. And they dismiss. Why would somebody want to even consider God when that's all they've ever been presented? When you live one way in church, but you live another outside of it, why would someone want to even consider what you're offering at that moment? I've heard that story more times than I can count. And it turns more people away from even considering God. It's because people see someone claiming to be a Christian that's not living a life that even comes close to reflecting God. Why would they want that life? This is why we need to be aware of our own failures in life before we point out the failures in others. If someone sees that same failure in your life that you're calling out in theirs, do you really think they want to listen at that moment? Instead, they can throw it right back at you and you walk away gaining nothing. You have done no good deed for God. You've not done him any favors. You've not helped someone out like you think you have. All you've done is create another divide between man and God. And Jesus continues and elaborates further in verses 3 and 4, starting with, why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? You know, self-reflection is one of the hardest things for us to do. This idea to look inside of our hearts, to look inside the filth and the grime that lays within us, our own sin in our lives, it's not something that we often want to do. It's not a comfortable place to be. It's not something that we often desire. I mean, it's easy to look at others' flaws in their lives. But often we get so used to our own sin, we get so used to our own habits and actions, that we no longer even look at them as flaws. We just make excuse after excuse for them all. And we just say, well, that's who I am. That's just what I do. Part of the reason that we have such a hard time looking inside of ourselves is that in our culture today, we are running 24/7. We're on the move all the time. Our culture and society often require more energy from us than any of us have to give. We constantly have pressures coming in from every side. We get under pressure and we make mistakes. It's get up, get the kids to school, head off to work. Put out fires at work. We have bills coming in. We need to take the kids to the game at night or practice. Or we have other meetings and places to be. We have this worry after worry in our lives. And on top of that, we have emails and text messages coming in all day. Our social media accounts are constantly going off. There seems to be breaking news every 15 minutes, and it's a never-ending distraction in our life. So much so that we often have no time to sit down and do a serious self-examination and reflection of our lives. We go to bed, and our minds are still running 100 miles an hour. On top of that, our busyness isn't the only thing that gets in our way of doing a serious self-examination of our lives. We're so busy, we don't even have time to open God's word and allow it to fill us. The other part that keeps us back is that we deceive ourselves. We are great at deceiving ourselves. It's like one of those mirrors at the fair. We look in it and we get a distorted view of us. So often when we look at our own lives, we have this distorted view that we have a desire to see that we can't see the real truth. The only way that we can get a clear reflection of ourselves, to see what God sees in our lives, is by spending time with him. And what Jesus is challenging us in this verse is before we go casting judgment, that we go and we check the sin in our own lives. That we go and spend time with our Heavenly Father to make sure that we're walking in his light. That we're not worrying about what others are doing and where they're failing, But we're first checking ourselves. That we need to see where our failings in life are. To see what part of our lives are not in line with him. He continues in verse 5 and he says, "Hypocrite, first take that beam of wood out of your eye and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye." Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't help our brothers with their and sisters with sin. He's saying make sure you take care of the sin in your own life first, that you've examined your heart. That once we've examined our hearts, when we see the work that Christ has done in us, when we understand what Jesus did on that cross, it's at that moment that we are reminded and we are humbled because we understand that we couldn't have done it on our own. So that when we go and we go to our brother and they have that splinter in their eye, we know that God has done this wonderful work in us and we're going with the right heart and attitude and mind for Jesus to be presented to them because we know that freedom comes from there. That thing that's holding them back in life, it comes from a gift from God for it to be cleaned up. And we go with a humble heart at that moment, not one of a pious and righteousness. Because we're not that good. We aren't the ones who earn our salvation. We were given to that as a free gift of salvation from Jesus himself. It tells us in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us that he had for us, made us alive with Christ even though we were dead in our trespasses. You were saved by grace." We have been shown great mercy from our heavenly Father. Even whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He restored our souls. He gives us strength. He gives us wisdom. We are called to show that same mercy that God has shown us to the world around us. So when we go to our brothers and sisters, when we try to help them take that splinter out, we've got a humble heart. We're full of compassion. We're full of grace and showing God's love to them in that moment because we genuinely care about them. We're not trying to make ourselves look better than the world around us. We are called to be humble, folks. We are called to go in Christ's love to encourage our brothers and sisters and the world around us to go and sin no more. We aren't going because we believe we're better. We aren't going because we have this moral superiority or desire to make us look better. We're going because we know that God has transformed our lives and has transformed our minds in ways that they have not experienced yet. And we want to give that same gift. We want to show them that same thing. We want to help them with their struggles. We want to help bear that burden that they're carrying. And reminding the people, our brothers and sisters, that they don't have to face this world alone. That we have been given a gift from God. Jesus closes out this section with verse 6. And he says, "Don't give what is holy to dogs or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You may wonder, what does this have to do with everything else we have looked at this morning? You know, in the first 5 verses we looked at this morning, we're reminded that we're not to judge people as if we were God, that we should not judge people as if we don't have any sin in our own lives. Instead, we should go humbly after we have evaluated ourselves to show humility and mercy as we walk with our brothers and sisters through the struggles and point them back to Christ. But in verse 6 here reminds us to not give dogs what is holy, to not throw your pearls before pigs because they see no value in it. They see no value in those things. It's the idea that giving someone something precious that shows no appreciation or even a desire for it or may even despise it is a waste. Folks, we have a precious gift. And that is the gospel of Christ. There are many in our world who want nothing to do with it, though. They get angry at the name of Jesus, and they don't want to hear what God has done for their lives. And we are called to use discernment on who and when to share it with. We all have that friend or family member that is walking in darkness. That we know if only they knew, if only they would look to Jesus, their life would be completely transformed. But we have to learn to pick our battles. We need to learn when to walk it out and to show it in our actions. And we need to learn when to open our mouths. Not everybody wants to hear it at that moment. And sometimes it does nothing but create this divide and pushes you further away from being able to share the gospel. I heard a quote years ago that said, share the gospel in all that you do and use words when necessary. It's the idea that in everything we do, we're showing, but we don't need to argue about it. And if somebody doesn't want to hear about the gospel, we shouldn't stand there and argue with them. What do? We won a little fight, but we lost the war. We kept creating this distance. Remembering that God is the one who changes hearts. It's God that draws them in, not you. The only thing we can do is show the love of God in every moment and use our words only when needed. To do it humbly. To do it humbly so that we can so they can ask what's different about us. So where are you at this morning? Do you have a judgmental heart? Or do you have a humble heart that seeks to see the world through the lens of the gospel? Are you someone that will confront sin with humility and mercy? Or someone that comes with a mind of superiority? You know, Jesus has given us instructions when our brothers and sisters are stumbling, where to go to them first. And if they don't respond at that moment, then we're to bring three with us. And if they don't respond to that, we bring them in front of the church. And what does he say? That if they do repent, we've gained our brother back. That's the point. It's not to create a divide, but that we may all grow in wisdom and knowledge of Jesus, and the world may see Christ through us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you, to praise you. Father, I ask that you work within each one of our hearts, that we may be humble, that we may come to you humbly, that we may examine ourselves, that we may grow in knowledge, but that we may recognize the sin in our own lives, so that we can be examples to the world around us, showing them your love and mercy, so they too can hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race. And I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff. walk the path, I will run the race, and I will never be the same again, and I will never be the same again, and I will never be the same again.
As you go out this week, I just want to encourage you to examine your hearts. Are you representing Christ well to the world around you? Are you humble in spirit? God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you.